going on, brother?
Yep. Hi, man.
Just got that, the day. You seem deep today. You got that Barry Manilow voice.
No, it's because I've been yelling
at Milo. What's the matter with that kid? Fucking day trading or some shit? What the hell can Milo be doing?
What is he not
squandering
doing,
the
man?
Family savings?
He skipped a toddler preschooler and straight went to like rebellious
drinking
teenager.
Drinking around the corner?
Sneaking in the Yoo-Hoo. That's
yeah.
Something you
oh,
do.
Dude, I got busted drinking Yoo-Hoo outside the school fence all the time growing up.
He had a secret stash behind the
yeah,
bushes.
Yeah, I'd be telling the substitute teacher, come on, man, I got Yoo-Hoo right here hidden in the bush. And I finger blast like a motherfucker. Oh, you want to hear a funny hidden bush story? Real quick, even oh, before the intro. Back in high school, we used to commandeer liquor, right? That's what I would say. From like CBS and all the local joints. Okay. And we would hang out at this bush in the school grounds. But that was like our bush. It was kind of like the bush from Three Amigos. And we would, on the weekends, okay. We'd jump the fence and we'd hide all this stolen liquor, commandeered liquor, that's a French word, right? From CBS and put it in this bush. And then when we went to school on Monday morning or whatever it was, we would rattle the bush and whatever fell out, that's what we were drinking. And there would be all kinds of different things in there. So we're rattling, boom, it's gin today.
That sounds
like
an awesome
bush. That's how we got
through
high school, bro.
Yep. I just want to rename the Giving Tree to the splendid
yeah,
bush.
Dude. It was splendid in
the Social Nuisance Podcast.
Oh, shit. Okay, bitches, you guys are going to be mind blown.
Oh, we're going to town.
Downtown.
Yeah. They're podcasting.
We're podcasting right now.
Social Nuisance.
Social Nuisance Podcast. How you guys doing?
Welcome to Pound Town. Yeah, awesome.
Social
Nuisance! Oh, yeah, what the fuck is up?
Yeah, Social Nuisance Podcast.
Pound Town!
Hello, and welcome to the Social Nuisance Podcast, your weekly discussion of all things current requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kicking the face perspectives towards the betterment of humanity. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show to help Pound Town grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, drop a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance. My name is Imagine, and joining me as always, a man leading the protests of Portland to keep it as weird as it any way possibly could be.
You can associate me, like, if you don't have a physical image of what I may or may not look like, just think of that girl on the street with her vagina open at the cops.
With a long beard.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah.
That's me.
That perfectly
sums
it up.
That's me. I'm about 5'6", 120.
Yeah, and just an amazing labia. Yep. Yeah, it's true, man. Labias, right?
Yeah, I actually, judges? That's what they're called. I got tickets to see them.
I don't know what they're called.
I got
just
tickets to
in.
See them down at the Troub, the amazing labias. What are we doing, dude? Have we fell off the tracks yet? I haven't asked us that in a while.
Clearly, we've been doing
way better than our fans expect.
Yeah, truly.
It's moving, man. My week's moving.
When
something to celebrate. I got it. I actually wrote it down because I wanted it to be right. I didn't want to fuck it up, all right? I thought I was going to celebrate the finding of a third testicle because yesterday while I was getting myself fellatio, I came across a lump in my nutsack. I thought I was in possession of an immaculately concepted third ball, a Jesus bean. You know, that's what conservatives call them. Jesus beans, you know? But I looked it up, dude, and I think I might have ball cancer, bro. Yeah, dude, because make no mistake, dude, as someone who has to edit an hour and 27 minutes of footage to get a solid 60 out of me, you can attest that I pee frequently, bro.
This is true.
Yeah, I frequent the little girl's room, and that happens to be another case of the Lance Armstrongs. So I'm getting a little nervous, man.
Okay.
And,
so
the only,
So why are you celebrating that? And it seems like something you'd not want to celebrate.
So I crossed that off the list, dude. And it was Zombie's birthday. So shout out to Blowjo Dorado. That's our one of our regular listeners. It was his birthday recently. I just want to tell him a happy birthday, man.
Right on.
The big old BJ. So like I said, it turns out that the third nut thing wasn't anything to celebrate. But since I was already thinking about fellatio, I thought about him. And a happy birthday to Zombie.
Happy birthday.
What about you, brother? What you got?
Well, I have something that I, don't normally celebrate.
Other
things.
Than your...
I got into a car accident, I think,
dude,
yesterday.
What the hell? Well, okay, so we're going to celebrate that you look all right. I mean, from what I can see.
You know, it just reminded me further of what you should be celebrating on a daily basis. And that's, I'm alive, I'm healthy, I'm cool, I'm all right. And, I'm definitely cool. But overall, everything's fine, man. You know, people have it way much more worse than I do in life. And people are normally praying for the problems that I have. So, I got into a car accident, but, still, my life is still pretty
you're
damn
well.
Fine.
Yeah. So, I've been thinking about celebrating health a lot more lately. Just as I feel like the world around us is... You know, we're not even on Pride Month anymore, but the country's still flaming. And so just like as I hear of more and more cases, like coming closer to home of like coronavirus and things like that, I find myself appreciating that I'm well today and that I was well yesterday. And hopefully I'll be well tomorrow, as well as I can be. You know, obviously there's things between the ears that need some adjustments, but nobody wants to make them.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that's what's most important to celebrate. When you incur something bad happening, there's still someone out there who has it much worse than you do.
And
I just want to be thankful for the little
we
things.
We should get that person's number so we can just text them when we're feeling bad. Like, hey, dude, how's your day? And then they let us know how their day is. And we don't even answer. We're like, all right. We're going to go back to social distancing.
Yeah. But you know who's not having a bad day? They're... unmarried women.
They're not having
children.
Bad days? No, of course not, dude. They're all over Tinder. No, man. Getting finger blasted by little kids outside of schools drinking Yoo-hoo.
Yeah, exactly. So Paul Dolan, a behavioral science professor at the London School of Economics and self-proclaimed happiness expert, has said that the levels of happiness of married people were higher than those who do not have spouses, but only when their spouse was in the room.
Oh! So,
Yeah. But overall, the subgroup that reported overall highest levels of happiness were single, childless women.
Those got to be the most selfish beings on the planet, probably. I mean, you're here on Earth to do one thing, dude. You know what I mean? Did I lose you already? No?
No.
Well, they're baby makers, brother. And if you're not making babies, you're obviously a selfish being, which you got to be happy if you're all about you, if you're a selfish existence.
I don't hashtag, think that's how it works.
I meant none of that, bro. Okay. Hashtag me too. Hashtag me too, bro. And hashtag my bad. They can't all be home runs. That's going to be my new hashtag for now on. Okay, but this doctor, I want to address him real quick because he's a professor of economics in London. It must be in London because he proclaims to be an expert in happiness. And if you're a professor of economics here in America, you know that we're fucking circling the bowl, right?
Yeah, no, I would, if I was listening to the show, I would punch out.
Is that bad?
Yeah. It's, I can't hear what you're saying. And if I do get what you're saying, it's not poignant.
Well, you might be hearing it fine then. That was a joke.
See, now you're fine because it comes and goes. You hear it too, right? Cool. I have the splitter on the headphones and Daisy's listening in.
Oh, good thing I didn't say anything about Daisy yet.
the show is still young.
The point I was making about the professor is just that he's a self-proclaimed expert on happiness, and it must be that he studies economics in London, as you previously stated, because if you studied economics here in America, you could not be an expert in happiness. As you know, we're circling the bowl in whatever direction Australia doesn't.
that's true. So he thinks, I guess, London's happier?
Well, when you're talking about economics, because it's a real shit show out there. I went to the casino. They wouldn't even give me change. They gave me receipts for change. Like, if the ticket was $9.27, They gave me the $9 and said, you got to come back in 2 months for the 27 cents, bro.
Damn it, I'll be here.
What kind of...
If you needed any more convincing to get me back. Curious about is to be happiness expert. How do I get happiness expert on my fucking resume?
You gotta get the fuck out of America. Oh, and by the way, now that I know she's listening, you gotta get Daisy out the room. Because you're only happier when she's in the room, according to the professor.
Oh, that's true.
So in order to truly know, Daisy's like, God damn it, why didn't I get a mic too? She's ready to lay in.
Yeah, it's true. That's why I keep the mic over here. Though. I know she's going to outshine me, and I just can't be having that.
Speaking of outshine, do you see the grease on my forehead? Bro, I've been working hard today. I look like a light bulb. I'm glad they can't see this. So,
fluorescent or LED?
I'm definitely fluorescent. Dude, I'm old school. My car is 30 years old. I'm older than that. I'm fluorescent as fuck, dude.
Duly noted. So when we're talking about people that are being happy, we're talking about people that are at the epitome of good times, and what brings about good times more than motherfucking mini golf.
Mini golf's fun.
Mini golf is fantastic unless you're surrounded by 300 or 400 teenagers at the same time.
Yeah, that's probably terrible. I thought teenagers only mini golf to make out.
Yeah. So what happened was you have hundreds of teenagers at a Memphis mini golf center. And because they overcrowded, the Putt-Putt Fun Center said, look, we got to shut this shit down. There's way too many fucking kids here. So they shut it down. And then they told everyone, get the fuck out. No refunds. Do you think that goes over well with 300 to 400 teenagers?
No. And I will say I am familiar with this place. I had a friend back in Little Rock that she grew up in Memphis, and her and I went back there a couple times. And we know the spot, and she went there often as a kid. And what most impressed me was that the amount of African Americans playing mini golf, and I'm glad that Tiger Woods is making a difference, dude.
So you had 300, 400 teenagers that essentially just lost their shit, and they went ballistic. And some can be seen throwing plastic dividers and stands at employees. Another appeared to show a girl spitting at a worker. All hell just broke loose. It was practically a riot from teenagers. At a mini golf center.
I thought it was pretty funny too, but my favorite thing about the whole article is that it's headlined that all this havoc has caused over $4. Okay? But the headline doesn't elaborate, in a world of clickbaitiness, that it's $4 per person in the place. They didn't rip off one kid for $4. They ripped off 100 kids of $4 each. So that's where the berserk came from. You know what I mean?
I mean, not really. I disagree. I mean, you have 300 teenagers fucking anywhere by themselves, unsupervised. Some shit's about to go
down. What is mob mentality? You see what adults do when there's mob activity going on. You can only imagine what teenagers are going to do when mobs are...
Yeah, so they tore the Putt-Putt Fun Center up. So on Facebook, Elise Michelle, I think that's your friend, she said, God, I used to go to that place every weekend when I was a kid. I'm really not surprised it got trashed. Sounds like Elise
There's
might
two things
have been
about
there.
That. One, I can vouch that she probably didn't go every other weekend because she was terrible at putt-putt to begin with. So there's no way you have more than 52 weeks experience of putt-putting, Elise. Knock it off. And then two, we should probably go back in her life and burn down a lot of places she's been to just to...
Arkansas?
She's Tennessee,
Memphis.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's fun. Are you any good at mini golf?
Phenomenal, dude. At most everything I do, though. I just add that to the list, you know. Podcasting, mini golfing, finger blasting, being a fluorescent light bulb.
You win.
Day trading. Shot at you, Milo. No, that's it.
Yeah. Cool. So that was a fun story. That was really cool.
Hey, but
adult supervision, but at the same, I don't know, adult supervision can only go so far, but at the same time, you have these adults, yeah, these kids. Okay. Let's set the setting. You have, coronavirus, quarantine, lockdown. A lot of these teenagers have not been able to socialize at school, haven't been able to socialize anywhere for that matter, for whatever fucking reason, they all decided to go to the Putt-Putt Fun Center. And they, like, just amass upon it like fucking Civil War was about
to go. The reason
is
down south, there ain't shit to do, dude.
Well, there you go. So then you have 300 to 400 unsupervised teenagers. And I think the responsibility somewhat lies with the parents as well, knowing full well when you pull up the car and you're about to drop off your kid and you see just a mass of teenagers, you're like, oh, this can't be good. Oh, well, not my problem. Get the fuck out. I'm leaving.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just kind of crazy. You can't put all the blame on the teenagers because teenagers are going to do exactly what teenagers do, and that's rebel. Especially over $4. If you try to tell a teenager anything, I mean, that's their full allowance money right there.
Especially down south. I think a lot of it is in the act of getting fucked. You know, like, it's not even about the $4 at this point. Like, you took our fucking money. Yeah. You knew how many people were here. And then at some point, you're like, nah, fuck that. Shutting this shit down. And it's like, you should, if you've decided that, you should have had somebody with 100 paper clips and all those $4 bills or whatever credit cards got to get refunded or whatever ATM cards. You should have said, hey, look, guys, we got to shut this down. I already got it. Here's your four. Here's your four. Here's your four. You should have already had that shit sorted out. But also.
They couldn't. There's a coin shortage. Right. everyone got free credit to come back and play the
ATM. What it sounds like to me is a place got a little greedy and a little reckless, and they were a little bit more open than they should have been, and they got punished for that.
Oh, that's true.
You know
true.
What I mean? They Good got point. That ass clapped. So, fuck them. All both sides.
Yeah, true.
Fuck them on both. That's my new thing. Instead of Donald Trump, there's good people on both sides. It's like, fuck them on both sides.
Yeah, yeah. So that's like front, mouth, and
yeah, that
right?
too. But I meant like you could fuck off people on both sides of the argument, but you could also fuck both sides of the people in the argument. That'll work too.
That's
Touché.
True. Yeah, I think that's quite productive. Next thing I want to talk about is if we made a deal. Would you hold it up on a handshake?
Yeah, I would, yeah. During coronavirus, I'll actually hold it up on a lot less. But yeah, on a handshake, dude, on a handshake, yeah, man.
What if we made a deal to split lottery winnings 20 years ago
Wait,
on a
first
handshake?
Of all, can I ask that you have all your fingers on this handshake?
Yeah, I'm not that reckless anymore. So yeah, they
would
all be
there. I have a thing
about
nubs, and when I shake someone's hand and they haven't indicated that they're missing fingers, I get really freaked out, and that I wouldn't probably honor.
Okay, it wasn't
a full
handshake.
No, it's just that, like, you gotta give me a heads up. You can't shake my hands with your finger missing ass, having ass, and like.
Okay, so.
But.
So I have a full hand.
Uh huh.
We shake hands, and we agree to split the lottery winnings if one of us wins.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you have to do it. Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what happened with Tom Cook and Joe Feeney.
Done.
One guy won a $22 million Powerball jackpot. And he revealed that he had made a handshake agreement with his best friend that if one of them won the lottery, they would split
Dude,
it right down the
so
middle.
Dude, this story's so rad because we don't ever get good news anymore.
Yeah, this is pretty fucking cool. And I think this speaks to the value of keeping your word. So Tom Cook, Joe Feeney, they split a lump sum of $5.7 million after taxes, of course. And they didn't know how long ago it was. So the lottery tried to trace the deal. And they determined it was back in 1992 when the lottery game was first offered in Wisconsin.
That is crazy. That's cool, man. That's rad. I like that. I like stories like that, dude. One, it's the guy won the lottery. I just hope it doesn't come back later that it was all fake. Like, remember when the bum got the fucking, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, let's not ruin a good story.
Yeah. I think it just speaks volumes to keeping your word. And I think, you know, in my experience, it's unfortunately something you don't really.
Yeah, mine too,
anymore.
Dude. I don't like that shit either, dude.
Yeah, if I feel like if you're going to, you know, if you look someone square dead in the eye and say, I'm promise, or you have my word, specifically, you have my word, you know, like, you know, word is bond. And a handshake, especially, I think a handshake, although a bit old fashioned, should.
Yeah, in
hold
fact,
up.
Outside of coronavirus times, I would think that, like, that's a tradition we can carry on for a couple more generations. I hope it doesn't come back like that a handshake was a symbol of some racist act or something that we're going to find out later on. You know, as we're destroying everything we've ever, like, became a tradition or we're used to. Yeah. I had a quick question. do you think that one day Kanye is going to kill someone to promote an album? Right?
Probably. Yeah, I would not say it's beyond his means.
They're letting
his means.
Him do whatever the fuck he wants to promote a project, aren't they?
I mean, it's... Why not? I mean, it's Kanye.
Do you think that Kanye, quote, quite possibly... Do you remember the old DMX albums? Do you remember any of the tracks that were Damien? I think there were 3 Damien tracks. And, okay, cool. They were essentially, just a quick breakdown, artist sells his soul to the devil for fame and profit and money. And then as the story goes on throughout the albums, it obviously starts to get bad, right? When he's got to cash in those favors. Is Kanye is he Damien?
No, if Kanye is Damien, does that make Kim Kardashian the devil?
Or definitely the Kardashians as a whole. This is my thing. This is my thought about that.
Oh, here's my thought though. If the Kardashians as a whole are the devil, does that mean that each Kardashian is like the Megazord?
Yeah, I think they come together like Voltron.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
I think like
Kim is definitely the fucking
okay.
Ass
all right,
of
fair.
Voltron
and then like the one that they
devil.
Say is OJ's daughter. Probably the dick piece, right? I imagine the devil's got a big dick piece. She's got the biggest everything on that family. but this is what I was thinking, dude. Okay, so like, he makes it in everything he tries, right? He gets to the top of music. The whole, all right? He gets what he thinks is the baddest bitch on the planet. He goes for the baddest broad. He gets her, right? He says, I'm going to become an insane fashion designer. Boom, gets respect all across the world as a fashion designer, right?
From fashion designers.
I'm
sure.
An infield, not like universally. Shoes.
Gotcha.
He's like, I'm gonna start with Nike, and then fights with Nike to Adidas, fucks off with Adidas, starts his own shoe line. You literally have success in every fucking thing you want, and you're still crying on stage about how you're gonna kill your daughter. You're devil affiliated. And make no mistake, cousin, I don't think that his mom was an accident. I think that might have been a fucking payment to the Dark Lord.
Oh, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I had you till that. I was ruining it by talking.
Offered the mom, dude. That's like, I think Kanye definitely has a number of issues he's got to work through, and I think it's a tragedy. I think it's really a tragedy of how Kanye.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but I would love to be a part of that tragedy. As far as like that, I don't know if I would stay on my medicine. Either, but I can't help but think about those Damien tracks as his life unfolds. I'm like, you have everything you want and you're still destroyed. And I don't understand how he gets to those levels. Like, I don't think he's as great a musician as he's regarded. I think his fashion is garbage. Like, literally, it looks like garbage. It's like cut up shirts, stained, toiled. Like, it looks like garbage. His shoes, I don't know if you've seen the latest shoes, they look like if you were to put something plastic in the dryer with your socks, and then your socks came out all like holy and kind of melted and stuck together, that's what his shoes look like.
Nice. And they cost $500.
And he's like at the top, at the highest level. I'm like, dude, the devil's got to be behind this.
I think it comes down, seriously speaking, I think it just comes down to being surrounded by yes men. You know, you reach a particular level of your career, and everybody wants a piece of that. So they just continue to enable you. And I think back to, you know, Michael Jackson, the same thing. You know, I think Michael Jackson had a number of issues he had to work through, but he was such a cash cow. Nobody wanted to.
Do you think also there might be something to say about the audience, as in us, not just us in music, but like fashion and all that? Like, I've realized that Drake has gotten to a level that no matter what he releases, it's revered and it's not good. And I think Kanye probably originated that level for this generation, where he can literally come out with anything and it's fucking revered. And it's, maybe we should take a step back and be like, look, we appreciate the creator, but this creation is garbage.
Yeah. But I think if you have really smart marketing and smart, smart business plan, smart business strategy to keep yourself relevant and desired, you could release dog shit and people would totally buy it for $1,000.
Yeah.
I think that's what they've done, especially like, we know, like fashion labels like Supreme, or like you said,
Supreme
Kanye.
Really trips me out.
I mean, stuff like that. You know, it's just very basic shit, because it's so limited and so exclusive and so high priced and such high on a pedestal, it becomes a status symbol. Then it becomes something to just
Supreme
gather.
Is like a literal fucking picture of class supremacy. We're gonna make a $30 sweater, yes, charge you $800 for it, and in wearing this, the people around you are gonna know you're a supremacist. You're better than them because of what class you belong to. That's
right.
Gross.
Yeah, and I think people like Kanye notice that and capitalize on it knowingly, and because they have it, you know, so somewhat figured out, they continue the cycle, and people keep falling for it, and we're just in this never-ending cycle of bullshit. And next thing you know, he wants to run for president.
But that was to promote a project, right? Isn't that what it came out in the end? Like, that the day after the fucking rally was an album drop or a shoe reveal or something?
It very well could be album promo, but ultimately I think it's just his ego. In the same way that, you know, Donald Trump does the same thing, where he just flaunts something to get the public relations machine
moving.
Oh,
talk about ego. Did you see how Dr. Ouchie Fauci threw the first pitch?
Well, that's not the point.
The point is, while he was doing that, did you see Donald Trump tweet that the Yankees asked him to throw the first pitch and that he couldn't? And it came out, the Yankees were like, never happened, bro.
I stopped paying attention to stupid shit like that. I mean, stuff with Donald Trump, I've gotten to a point where I expect stupid shit to occur.
I thought that was like cute stupid, though, like something one of my kids would do. I'm like, come on, man. Nobody asked you guys to throw a first pitch. Let your brother have a good time. You know? Sorry, that quick question took a little longer and wasn't as stupid as they're used to. I got stupid ones coming. Let's keep going.
Okay, cool. So one thing you brought to my attention was Oprah.
Yeah. Wait.
Yeah, what's going on with
which
Oprah?
Which one? Because there's two Oprah stories now and one I forgot. Is it about changing the cover on her magazine? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so she, for the first time in however many years she's had this magazine, replaced the face on the cover, which is normally her face, and then the background's changed color, I think.
Yeah.
And replaced it with the face of Breonna Taylor. And I took this as a sign of ultimate virtue signaling. This lady,
what is
virtue
signaling
is that when you let people know who are on your side, that you also stand with them in what this like universal belief is, right? Or whatever it is. Like, I call it armchair activism. But I think the taken name, like, or the understood in society is virtue signaling. Like, I'm shooting a rocket launcher that tells everybody that these are my values and I stand for them. And they're not always like well defined, and they're usually like motionless. Like, there's no effect for what you're doing. Now, this one is going to have a big effect in that a lot of those people who get that magazine may not know who Breonna Taylor is and may not really know the story, because the story, it's layered like onions and Shreks. It's a deep story. It's not as simple as a cop killed someone. It was the cops were served the wrong address. The address was loosely related to a real criminal that the cops said that they said that there were police, but never did. No witness. All witnesses say, nope, they broke in. And then the police report was a total lie. They said there were no injuries. They fucking shot her 8 times. They said that they were allowed into the house. They used a battering ram. So I get it. There's going to be attention gathered to, like, anybody who doesn't know the Breonna Taylor story needs to learn it, because it's not just about the cops that made the mistake there at the spot. It was a clerical error that fucking skyrocket, just moonshot, you know, and it cost someone their life. That was someone that was totally innocent. But anyways, Oprah has the power to go into that city and make a scene, to help a good cop run for DA, to sway elections. She can go in and she has the power to make adjustments, but that's not what she's willing to do. What she's willing to do is take her face off a magazine for a month and put Breonna Taylor's face. I hope that she's paying the family ridiculous amounts of money. You know, there's more literal connection, but that remains to be shown. So I just thought it was like, again, another class privilege, virtue signaling. Hey, look, I believe what you believe, but like in all reality, these people have a lot of time and space to have larger impacts.
I agree. And I did not know much about the Oprah story. I know a lot about the Breonna Taylor story. Didn't know much about the Oprah changing her face cover, or whatever the fuck, the magazine cover. Because again, I don't really pay attention to stupid shit like that. But what was enlightening was what you brought up. And that's the fact that, yes, Oprah is doing something to lend a hand towards exposure. But I feel like her help is not helping. What helped Breonna Taylor was the social media movement, the amount of people sharing the story and calling for accountability and moving the needle forward on that. I think her lending her celebrity, you know, may help with some exposure and, you know, enlightening people that may not know the Breonna Taylor story, and hopefully moves the needle a little bit further along with applying pressure to the Louisville Police Department. But I think your point of she has an opportunity for direct involvement in the same way that Prince had direct involvement, the same way that Kim Kardashian had direct involvement with a number of cases. The opportunity is there. She has the resources. She has the celebrity weight to throw behind it. But you're right. She just changed the magazine cover and says,
well,
and I
like
did
you
my
said,
part.
That came after the social media movement and athletes. Athletes now that sports are back, there's a couple athletes that have gone up there to answer questions when they're supposed to, and they just say, I want Breonna Taylor's cops arrested. And they go, oh, okay, hey, how about during the third quarter? That, bro? And it's like, I want Breonna's. It's making noise. But this is also why I feel like it's more of a virtue signal deal. Because guess what? That momentum was already there, babe. You know what I mean? You're coming. You're came to the fight late, babesicles. It's time for you to do some real work. And it's not changing your fucking. You know, like who gives a shit? Like I didn't even know Oprah had a magazine until this article came out.
Yeah, and like you said, the virtue signaling is what bothers me most. Is when people who are in a position to try and help, and they're not. It just kind of frustrated me. It's just you have the ability to do something, especially it pisses me off with like elected officials. You have the mic, you have the floor, you have the ability, but you know, you just play it silent. You play it calm. Yeah, you know, and sometimes it just does the wrong, right. It's not the right thing to do.
Motherfucking term limits, huh? That'll get them speaking up.
This is true. Yeah. Apologies if I sound a little bit frazzled out there. I'm still recovering from a mild concussion.
Did you feel concussed?
I was totally concussed.
Oh man, that's the worst, bro. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's not the worst, but that sucks.
Yeah, so trying to speak thoughtfully and intelligently on a podcast while trying to navigate the fact that my brain still feels like mush.
So what difficult. You're doing is you're being me. I'll try to keep it together to be you. And I mean, I'm not often concussed, but the brain mush part, probably.
Oh, nice, nice. This is what it's like to be you. It's
fantastic. Right? It's blissfully ignorant or ignorantly blissful or, you know, I don't know. Fluorescent, not LED. That's what it is.
On the topic of initiatives that have good intention, but not a lot of teeth to it, I wanted to talk about the black and white photos that are going around, the challenge accepted.
Is that the girl for the NAACP from Washington?
The one with
the curly hair?
Maybe.
I can't remember her name. Fuck, it would have been funny if I knew her name. The girl who was white that said she was black?
Yeah.
Sorry, my bad, guys. Anyways, if you know the girl, black and white picture, get it, of a girl? Sorry. All right, go on. They can't all be home runs.
So, hashtag y'all can't be home runs. So if you have an Instagram or Facebook, I'm sure you've seen a number of black and white photos featuring a lot of your friends, relatives. They're selfies, but they're in black and white. You're probably questioning yourself, as I was, because all I see are black and white photos of women that I know, and it just says, challenge accepted, hashtag. And I'm like, okay, cool. Clearly it's a girl thing. I clearly have a penis. So I have no idea
what
the fuck is going on.
I like that they think that we're convinced it's a challenge for them to post a selfie.
Well, that's the thing, is that I didn't know what the hell was going on. And clearly it's hashtag challenge accepted, hashtag women empowering women. So I didn't understand. So I talked to my wife about it. She enlightened me, but I wanted to talk about it a little bit further. So the gist of the challenge is to post a black and white photo of yourself, if you are a woman, and then quote unquote challenge.
Rachel Goldell! Sorry, I just remembered her name.
Cool. Who other women who you want to uplift to do the same. The hashtag currently has around 4.5 million posts on the platform of Instagram, with celebrities including J-Lo, Gabrielle Union, Jennifer Aniston, all propelling the challenge into the latest social media fad with their own selfies. But everyone's just kind of like, okay, cool. We know it's popular. We know it's a thing. But as with all viral items, especially these challenges, where the fuck did it come from? This particular iteration of the challenge started in Turkey in order to raise awareness about the high rates of femicide in the country. Turkish people wake up every day to see a black and white photo of a woman who has been murdered on their Instagram feed and their newspapers on their TV screens, and usually it contains a black and white photo. So the challenge was started as a way for women to raise their voice, to stand in solidarity with the women we have lost, to show that one day it could be their picture that is plastered across news outlets with a black and white filter on
top. I love that you found this out.
It's all Daisy. She enlightened me with it. I just found an article where I can
learn
further.
Daisy's a bad motherfucker, man.
Totally. She reviewed it on her own, and it was great.
Should we ask Natalie if she knows what it's about?
All right. Put it on the spot. See how this goes. Hey, do you want to see it on the couch tonight? Let me know.
Come here real quick. Hurry, we're recording. Come here.
Shout out all the listeners laughing. Like, this is how it works.
Babe, the black and white picture, do you know where that came from? What? The black and white picture of girls, the challenge girls, the picture.
Challenge accepted photos. Some turkey thing.
Oh, can you hear her?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
No? Like a turkey movement. For vegetarians?
No, okay.
The girls in India. Yeah, about girls who died, they post their picture the next day because there's femicide, like they're killing women out there like it's crazy. What about one for Juarez? We should do that. We should make a challenge for the women of Juarez. All right, sorry, babe.
But here's the thing. So as a man who was on the other side of this feed, I have a number of friends, relatives, people that I follow on Instagram, and I'm seeing all these photos. And I'm like, cool, there's a new challenge out, you know, whatever it is. And they're all participating. It's a women empowering women. But this wonderful explanation, I got none of that. I just like, okay, challenge accepted, black and white photo, no context. And because there's no context, I thought this was a really stupid challenge.
Yeah, and
I'm all for the women empowerment piece. I'm all for feminism, addressing cultural issues such as femicide in Turkey.
Obviously.
But this was not carried out.
Obviously, eloquently. We're for all that stuff as we're being recorded and this is going to go on the internet. But, you know what I mean? Okay, but, and then also the other thing is I would like a challenge to go out where celebrities got to challenge like a regular person. Like, imagine how Daisy would come home if it was like, J-Lo challenged me to a black and white picture. You know what I mean? Like, when it's just like, I don't know. I was trying to mix it up a little bit.
I had a friend of mine. She posted an Instagram story talking about how she was not participating in it and how she also thought it was stupid. And I guess she got flack, so she posted a secondary story with a full-ass like essay about where her thoughts were coming from. And I totally agree. The initiative, the challenge of a black and white photo with no context that simply just says hashtag challenge accepted.
The fact that it's a selfie. You know what I mean? It's not even a piece of architecture or meaning or like, you know.
I get what you mean. I get the black and white selfie piece and what it was supposed to be standing for. But I think it was definitely lost in translation. And because it's lost in translation, it had no teeth. It didn't really bring about any type of social awareness towards the femicide in Turkey, nor did I feel it did any type of women empowerment piece. It was just very much like, I got tagged by some friends. Here's a black and white photo. I'm tagging some other friends for a black and white photo. Without any of the context, it just loses its purpose and intent. And I feel like that's why it was a failed
initiative. Could it be a little bit of virtue signaling?
Not if they don't know what the context
was. Even if they do, even if it was loosely known as what was demonstrated recently, wouldn't it, like, what are you actually doing about the women dying in Turkey? How does you posting a picture of you, minus the color, what does that do for the girls dying in Turkey? All you're doing is virtue signaling to all these other people that you, too, think that it's bad for girls to die in Turkey. We all think that.
I kind of see that. That's almost a little bit of All Lives Matter versus Black Lives Matter. I'm kind of getting that.
Well, what I meant was we all think that it's bad for women to die. We don't all have to post pictures, not like as an All Lives Matter, but like we don't all have to post selfies. But like you posting a selfie is making no effect. The only thing that's happening by you posting a selfie is you're letting other people know you think what they think. And that's virtue signaling at its finest.
Here's what I would compare it to. The black and white photos compared to the Me Too movement. Hashtag Me Too. That's how it started out. It was just a simple, here's a story, hashtag Me Too. Or you could just simply say, hashtag Me Too. And everyone understood what that meant. There was context. And because of the context, there was the ability to share in that context. And that drove towards results, and that resulted in the Me Too movement. Whereas with this, I'm, again, super for women empowering women, and it just wasn't there. So like going back to my friend who posted about what it meant to her, she was talking about it would be a much more significant challenge if we were to tag women in our lives that were supportive of us or empowering of other women, women you know. And that way you shared this opportunity for women to empower women or for women to acknowledge the empowerment of other women. And I just feel like that would have been a bit more fruitful than just a hashtag challenge accepted black and white photo. And I wanted to talk about this topic, not so much to shit on it, but there needs to be some type of like course correction. Like, hey, we're all for this. This is great. But I feel like there's value in raising your hand and saying like, couldn't we have done this a little bit better? And I think that's where this is coming from in kind of acknowledging that. So if you participated in it, cool. But can we acknowledge that this was not one of our finest challenges and we can do better in the next one maybe?
I would hope so. I had no idea of its roots. And I honestly believe that most people who posted about it didn't have idea of its roots either. And there's...
Oh, let me ask. Hold on. Daisy, when you got tagged in it, were you provided context about the turkey thing or did you have to review it? No, she had to review it on her own.
Okay, this is the thing like that...
It feels like a hidden message. Like, okay, you get a direct message from your best friend. Hey, don't talk about it.
But I can't guarantee you, but I can assure you that whoever challenged Daisy probably didn't know either, you know? And this goes back to this theory that I have about women in the internet and what they don't understand the difference between a photo and a thought or the value of what comes across. So a girl can post a picture and get 80 likes. She could post a thought and get 6 likes. And if you don't think that there's a difference between the way the people around you evaluate the things you think as opposed to your physical appearance, you're sadly mistaken, darling. So if you're posting a photo of you and you're an attractive woman and you're not putting down the details directly like where that could be read with that picture, because look, your audience is shallow. That's our fault. But they're not going to read the caption. If you don't put like hashtag turkey femicide on the photo, nobody knows what the fuck you're talking about. You know
what
I mean?
That's also true. That's
so it's like, I just think it's funny when like they like, you know, someone thinks that they got so much to offer the world in what's between their ears, but their pictures get 1,000 likes and then their ideas get 7.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that just pertains particularly to women, but I think that's just any person who is just vain. They suffer some amount of
they can't
vanity.
Just be vain. They got to be hot too, right? Because you could be ugly and vain and you're not getting 80 likes on your photo. That's my problem.
I don't know. If you're half naked, I might double check.
I don't think so. I think you scroll faster or unfriend me. I have a quick question for Daisy while she's listening.
Yeah, she's listening. Okay, like cool.
Quantal Pro. Hashtag me too, bro. All right, so this is maybe she'll be able to figure out why I ask her. If a girl refers to Marilyn Merlot instead of Marilyn Monroe, does she drink too much? Is she an alcoholic?
She's just stupid.
She's just stupid.
Okay. So next time you guys, I don't know if other members of your family listen to this, text me when you find, never mind. Make sure that doesn't get cut out of our show. Okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's same.
Marilyn Merlot. Hashtag Marilyn Merlot, bro.
I mean, I don't like Merlot and I don't like Marilyn Monroe.
Why?
So two like awful things. I don't like Marilyn Monroe. I just don't like how she's held in such high regard For what? She was the Kim Kardashian.
She's another one of the 80 likes and then Idea's 2 likes. You know what I love about her? I love the balls on her. She's saying happy birthday in the sexiest way to that president that she was fucking in front of his family. The balls.
Yeah. Okay,
other than that, yeah, I don't know. I don't know much about her. I think she was kind of like a high-end hooker, right?
Yeah. Pretty much. I've always said I prefer dimes over dames, and a perfect example of that. Not dimes over dames. Jesus, backwards. Sorry, guys. Fucking
scratch that. Reverse it. Dames.
What's it called? God, concussion. There you go. Then. Concussion. Dames over dimes. Dames over dimes. Uh-huh. Yo, there he goes. And dames over dimes. I'm not talking about Audrey Hepburn over Marilyn Monroe. So if we're going like an old time Hollywood actress that should be held in such high regard, it's Audrey Hepburn, dude. She was graceful. She was amazing. She was a great actress. But on top of that, she aged gracefully and she didn't do
stupid shit.
And
I'm not making this up. Terrible fucking mother. Horrible to her kids. So
I heard something about
Jane
that.
Mansfield. So Jane Mansfield. She's the one, dude.
I have to look into it. Yeah. I can't speak to it.
But just I don't mean to bring your hero down. They say don't meet your heroes. I'm afraid you might have just met yours.
No, I just don't look in the mirror. Because
her kids say that, lady, Daisy, that's the first time you laugh? I've been cracking them out all night, out of the park. And now you're going to fucking laugh? All right. Yeah, but I heard her kids say that she was a cunt. I mean, I don't know. Maybe her kids are liars. Yeah, right? Audrey Hepburn seems awesome. I bet your kids are pieces of shit. I don't even know who the fuck they are. And I trust them.
Okay, so here we go. To be or not to be. And this comes from a personal experience. And the question is, calling out strangers for not wearing a mask. To be or not to
you
be.
Have to, first of all, anytime you're calling out a stranger, you have to be absolutely correct. Okay? There was a gentleman running, and again, it's one of those What's Happening Your Town pages. Those places are absolute abyss shitholes. But anyways, he was jogging through his neighborhood, wherever the fuck he regularly jogs, and somebody saw him jogging one day without a mask, goes out the next day around, you know, proposed time that they think that he was swinging by, films him, shits on him for not wearing a mask. The guy, like, flips him off and keeps going. And then they put the footage of him flipping him off on the page. Look, if he's jogging and he's not going anywhere, like, not going to a store, not stopping anywhere, he doesn't need a fucking mask. You know what I mean? You're putting someone on blast for not really breaking the rules. Now, if you go into a grocery store and you're fucking yelling about your rights being infringed on, guess what, bitch? No shirt, no shoes, no. You don't have those fucking rights in my private business. So if you're going to shit on someone for not wearing a mask, you have to be absolutely correct. And that's just anytime you shit on a stranger at all. Like, there can't be any room for misinterpretation or, you know, error.
Yeah no margin of error on that. So my personal experience comes from twofold. Both places of business. So I went to a Target and I encountered a woman, her 13-year-old, 12-year-old daughter, and then her toddler, all of which did not wear a mask. They walked into Target nervously, like knowing that someone was going to approach them. And then once no one approached them, all the employees saw them walk in. And once they got in there scot-free, they started dancing around and having a good old time.
Like, we got it. Oh, we're in Target. We got it. No, Matt, like that. Disgusting.
Yeah, exactly. So that I wanted to speak up, but I was like, oh, shit, do I cause a scene? How do I feel if someone was to come up to me and talk shit about me for wearing a mask and, you know, you're a dumbass for following like a sheep and blah, blah, blah. So I thought to talk to the Target employees who were afraid, clearly, to engage this particular person to wear a mask because they didn't want no drama. And then I went to go get my hair cut at an outside barbershop. Felt pretty confident. Everyone was spaced out. Everyone was wearing a mask. There was a big fucking sign that said no mask, no service. And as I'm sitting there getting my hair cut, dude is escorted by one of the barbers, sits his ass down in the chair, and he's just going on about his day. No mask.
Was he getting a beard trim or anything like that? Clean shaven. Okay, yeah, no, fuck that guy.
So I just, once again, was kind of like, fuck, man, do I Because I'm pissed. Like, at this point, I'm so fucking over this coronavirus bullshit that anyone who says anything otherwise, either you're a friend and I'm just not going to respect you the same way ever again, and you just lost a bunch of cool points, or I'm just going to fucking engage. I'm just going in. But I don't want to engage if it's going to lead to some issues, potentially get into a fight or what have you, because I have a family.
You
got to
assume
about
any engagement is going to go bad.
Right. So again, I wanted to talk to the barber and be like, yo, man, like, dude over there is not wearing a mask. You have a big ass sign right there that he walked right by. It says no mask, no service. What's up? And he's like, oh, you know, that's not my client, bro. So I'm just like, at what point do we as citizens, co-inhabitants of our community, start to hold each other accountable for the science-driven
data? So there's two things happening here. One is that you're in somebody else's private business. And as much as you respect the sign or not, it's really their decision. And you have the opportunity as a customer to exit the business. Now, that's way harder in that barbershop situation because you could be halfway done with your haircut or whatever. But
I would have said...
If I was the thing that I want to clarify about this is your motivation is clearly that you're fed up with coronavirus. It has nothing to do with you following the rules and someone else not following the rules, because I think that's a lot of people's problems elsewhere. But from the way you described it, you're done with coronavirus, and that the more people act recklessly, the more you're going to have to be associated. Like, you're going to have to deal with this situation because these people are being fucking selfish, right? Okay, so
correct.
Now that baseline is established for our listeners, I know you as a human. You're one of my best friends, so I know your motivation, but I wanted to make that motivation clear for our listeners. Because a lot of this is people going like, well, I follow the rules. They're not following the rules. It's got nothing to do with that. So there's two things happening. One is if the business doesn't want to enforce its policy, then it's kind of on you whether or not you want to frequent that business. Now, you can say, hey, this barbershop, whatever its name is, I'm never fucking coming here again, and take to your social media where you have a pretty good sway and tell people, hey, look, I was at this barbershop. We all know that we should have masks. That's like, it's obscene to me. It's outrageous that this is a politically polarized thing. I guess it's because it's an election year. I don't know. But we're all better off with fucking masks. Like, we need to go back to work, guys. Just wear the fucking mask, please. You know?
Right. Yeah, just wear the fucking mask. I like that. I'm going to get a mask that just says,
exactly,
just wear the fucking
dude,
mask.
I'll make it for you. I'll heat press it. So, okay, cool. Like, but you have the option as a customer to get the fuck out, which honestly, like, I'm at that, like, so, fuck. All right. Group of people around me, very close to me, critical of me and my vacations and me going out to places where, well, first of all, I work outside all day, every day anyway. So I don't get, you know, I'm going to be as careful as I can, but my tune has changed from beginning to now about what's going on. And I'm careful as fuck. Some of those people who had criticisms had contracted the virus. You know, and it's, where was I going with this? Maybe I just wanted to shit on them. I don't know. Anyways, like, I forgot. But, my bad.
Calling strangers out for not wearing a mask.
I just think that when you're calling a stranger out, you need to assume that it's going to go as bad as possible. Now, I'm someone who calls strangers out as much as I can about anything. Not so much masks yet, because I don't know, you know, how polarizing masks are. Well, I know they're super polarizing and on a political level, and I'm really not into that game. But I have a store policy in my life store that says if you're an asshole, you ran into a bigger one today. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the Target employees, like, you can't really blame them. They make minimum wage or whatever the fuck they make. You know, they're not going to get an argument. I think the barbershop had an opportunity to do something right, and they didn't. And that's, I think that should affect them.
I'm going to say that for me, it was a to be. Like, call people out. Like, you know, I'm just so fucking tired. Let's just start doing it. But I think you raised some really good points, and I'm going to switch my answer to not to be. Do not call strangers out. Instead, take it.
I think my primary point would be as a customer. The to be would be to say, as a customer, I'm uncomfortable, and if you care about my patronage, you should do something about this. Yep. If you don't care, then don't do anything. That's up to you, and then I'll react accordingly. But Yeah, I think, like, just wear the fucking mask, guys. Why are we still talking about this, dude? Fuck.
It's true. It's going to be fucking God. August. We were supposed to be done
Damn
in June.
It, man.
All right, so we're up towards the end of the show. I want to close it out with some you-know-whats.
Right. Who you got? You know what?
What do you want?
What? I think at past midnight, my neighbor's car grows doors. Because, like, look, when they come home,
like yeah,
when they get home at 1:30 in the morning, it's like, ka-chunk, 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 ka-chunk. I'm like, how many fucking doors does this car have? It's 1:30 in the morning. Stop doing that, you know?
That's pretty impressive.
You?
That's a cool car. You know
that?
What? Summer is a shitty season when you can't enjoy it.
True.
I mean, previously it's like, yeah, summer vacation, summertime, you can do this, can do that. If you can't do any of that, it is a miserable season. It is not fun.
Yeah, absolutely, dude.
It's just hot. You can't do anything. Can't go anywhere. It's
you know what, dude? Never fight a fucking Asian.
Never.
Because look, dude, they all know. First of all, they record everything. Second of all, they all know how to edit video. And if said Asian whoops your ass, it will get posted to World Star with like graphics of the dude going like Super Saiyan right before he beats the fuck out of you. And they'll make it look dope and shit. It'll be like an anime fucking whooped your ass, but you'll be on Worldstar with a billion views.
You hanging out with
no,
your brother?
No, he's for real quarantined. Like, yeah, I think he's writing stories.
Gotcha,
like,
gotcha.
When I last got out of doing time, I sent him like this journal that I kept, and he loved the writing, and he helped me. I think he's writing like a part two to it. He's not leaving his fucking house. Yeah.
Nice. Nice. All right.
What's
hey,
that, bro?
You know what? On the topic of history, history will say man buns were this generation's mullet.
Oh, maybe, dude. That's a good one, dude.
Party in the back, business in the front. It's the exact same shit.
Yep.
And still looks just
as ridiculous, dude. And I think that's what people use to grab a hold of when you're sucking their dick. Whether it's the man bun or the mullet, you just grab it and then you can, it's kind of like a cock sucking controller. You know, like the D-pad on a, like a Xbox. That's what that man bun is. So you just get them to blow you whichever direction that you want. You know what?
Oh, that's effective.
Whoever names the episodes for the first 48, I'm going to need them to name the chapters of my biopic. They're fucking phenomenal, dude. It's like True Blood. Gangsters in the Street, Revenge. And also, while we're at it, first 48, they need to extend that time period because apparently at hour 49, they just give up. Why don't they make it the first 96? Give them two more days to get this shit done or something. You know what I mean? Why is it 48, dude? You're not going to find them in 2 days. Take more time.
That's funny. Speaking of reality shows, you know what? I hate the first thing that people on those tiny home shows, I hate the first thing that they say when they walk into a tiny home is, it's so small. It's like, you're fucking shopping for a tiny home. So when you actually go into a tiny home, you're shocked by how small
it is. I like how
they
progressively get smaller. This one's smaller than the last. Yeah, that's how the show works. We don't show you the smallest one and get bigger from there.
And I'm just like, oh, look at the kitchen. Like, oh, this doesn't really have a kitchen. There's no room for a dishwasher. Bitch, there's barely room for you. I just don't get it, man. The tiny home nation shit, it frustrates me.
I'm out of them for the day, brother. If you got another one, shoot it.
Nope, I got us three. As always, want to thank you all for joining us here in Pound Town. But before we go, want to remind you to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help the show grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nooses Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, drop a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance. And lastly, don't forget there is power in numbers, and together we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity. My name is Imagine. And that's the main man motion. We'll see y'all next week on the Social Nuisance Podcast.
Hey, before you turn it off, do you remember the time that you told me that you thought Scott Peterson was a good guy?
I did not say that. That is false. False.